Hello friends, and welcome to the latest Kings of Anglia podcast. I've got to start first of all with an apology, because we didn't do one last week.
Pathetic.
Very poor form. Essentially what happened was, Hutchie was off, me and Stewie both ridiculously wanted days off as well for working at the weekend, and studio time and stuff just meant we couldn't get it together, so we failed you all. Apologies.
I was here.
Yeah, but although there was one person who said they wanted a solo Ross podcast, which I think is a sign of issues up top. So apologies for that. This is, of course, the Kings of Anglia podcast. It's a special today, or should I say tonight, because it's our first after dark Kings of Anglia podcast. We're sitting here recording this. It's 5:20 p.m. We normally record it at 9 a.m. in the morning. It's dark outside, and I'm hoping there's going to be some extra spice.
Like Hollyoaks later,
exactly,
when they do the edgy one.
Who wants to swear?
Does one of us strip down to our bra?
You're already topless, Stu, as we sit here. So
I haven't been introduced yet. I don't talk before I'm introduced.
Okay, let me get on with that. Apologies for that, Hutchie. Of course, the man to my right hand, he's just had 2 weeks off. He's wearing a very nice, what are we calling that? What colour is that? Lavender?
Plum.
Purple.
I love it. It's my favourite jumper that you've got. He's back in action. He's back here with the KOO team. It's your man, Michael Hutchins.
Actually, I do talk before I'm introduced. Let's go.
It's Hutch Hogan, baby. How are you,
Michael Hutchins?
Yeah.
He doesn't get talked about very much.
Alfred
anymore.
Hutchcock.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hutch Hogan.
Yeah.
More importantly, I got retweeted by Hulk Hogan this week.
That's who's your favourite Hogan?
Ben. Golfer.
Niche.
How are you, mate? All right?
Good. You?
How was your 2 weeks off?
Good, thank you.
What did you do?
Not much, really.
Oh,
mate.
Piss off. Come on, what did you do? You had 2 weeks off. I know you were still Ledley Kingstar. You were covering games in that first week. I just heard a blast of superstition then, did I? Was that...
No, I
did
just...
jumping in?
I clicked. There's a fan here that's underneath the table.
Fair play. Hutchie, come on. What were you up to? What was the best thing you did in your week off, apart from coverage of games, weeks off?
I saw two professional football players in unusual environments.
Do tell.
Interested?
Yes, absolutely.
Went to Centre Parks for a week.
Yes.
Guess who was there? Kevin Nolan!
Oh, nice.
Yeah?
That was so loud.
So that was good.
Yeah? What was he doing?
He's going down the rapids, I assume.
He was having a little cycle, actually, with his lad.
Was he?
Yeah.
Very good.
And
who was the second one?
Second one is a former Ipswich player, actually.
At Centre Parks?
Nope. I took my little girl to an indoor play centre on Saturday while it was monsoon conditions outside. Mr. Tom Adeyemi was there with his family.
So is he still without a club?
He is, yes. He was there at 3 p.m. on a Saturday,
me. Did he look injured?
No, he looked sprightly.
Excellent.
And good, Nick.
Excellent. It's great to have you back.
It's great
to be
back.
I must say, I walked through the door of the office this morning, bounded through the door thinking, Hutchie's here, it's going to be great, I missed him. And I said, how are you, Hutchie? And you went, not as chirpy as you, mate. And then when I inquired as to how excited you were to be back, you said somewhere between a 2 and a 3, which pissed on my potatoes.
That's
but anyway,
accurate.
I'm delighted to have you back.
That was 9 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
It's different now.
Excellent. You're up for it now.
Because we're going for a curry after this.
We are. We'll get on to that in a minute. His partner in crime, of course, Hutch Hogan's partner in crime, the man who we literally try not to do the podcast without, the man who's wearing a very dark coloured jumper befitting his mood, the man who I like to call Dr. Stephen Watson, Stewie, how are you?
I'm okay.
Are you?
I'm good.
Excellent.
I'm glad you didn't stick with the Adolf Hutchler.
I'm very glad.
Version of the nickname the other week. I think that might have taken that a bit too far.
Yeah. I did think about it. You probably saw my brain whirring, but I decided against it.
Thank you.
Stewie, what have you been doing? You had a free weekend. What did you get up to?
Just family and that.
Care to elaborate?
Fireworks.
Oh, yes.
Saw my dad.
Yeah.
Nothing that you or the listeners will be interested in at all.
How does Aya get on at fireworks? Did she have little earphones?
Hated them.
Did she?
No, didn't bring... That was the first mistake. Didn't bring the ear defenders. First bang went off. Can we go home?
Oh, no.
So we did.
You went straight home?
Pretty much, yeah. We sort of sheltered indoors and...
So there was no sparklers? Nothing like that?
No.
Disappointing. absolutely disappointing. Stewie, it's good to have you with us, as ever.
Thank you.
Look forward to you breaking down Ipswich Town in a few
breaking few, down, just, few just having a breakdown.
Having a mental breakdown.
And, of course, the fourth wheel in the KOA car, the greatest producer on planet Earth, survivor of a lightning strike, and owner of a particularly fine beard, Roscoe. You never play that long enough, Ross. You literally faded that down as soon as it came. Oh. It's the greatest intro of all times. Stevie Wonder. Come on, this is beautiful. How are you, Roscoe?
I'm good.
What have you been up to? You had a weekend off as well.
Found him that.
No, come on. don't let these boys bully you. It is cool to do stuff outside of work.
It was my nephew's fourth birthday.
No, I'm not interested. Come on, let's go on football.
What did you do on the other weekend? Yeah.
What did I do on the weekend? I watched the World Cup final. Did you enjoy that? We all watched that?
Yes.
No.
You didn't watch the World Cup final?
No.
You don't like rugby?
It's 9 o'clock in the morning.
It's far too early for us.
Did you watch the World Cup
I
final?
I did watch it, yeah.
Disappointing, wasn't it?
Yes.
South Africa were very good though, weren't they?
They always are. Solid.
They were, like brick walls. It was incredible stuff. Boys, we're back together. It's a good time to be alive. It's dark outside. Let's talk about Ipswich Town. Hmm. Obviously, we've been off for a week. We haven't discussed yet Southend. So let's do that very briefly. 3-1 win. Back to winning ways, exactly as I said we would be. HMS Pisser League sails again. Brief recap?
I can't remember it. It's too long ago.
Okay, good.
Move on.
Solid, yep. Not spectacular, would be my brief summary of it.
Goals from Norwood.
Yeah, some nice goals in there, weren't they?
And Jackson, 7 each now. I think Norwood's still on pace. What did he say? 2 a month, didn't he?
2 a month.
So he's still on pace for his 20 goals plus. Mm. Outstanding.
The one-on-one finish will do his confidence a world of good, having missed quite a few of those, although the keeper was rooted to the spot for that.
He was awful, their goalkeeper.
Yeah, not a couple good. Of mad dashes off of his line. Spilt quite a few, didn't he, throughout the course of the game. It kind of falls into this category. We keep talking about Ipswich not getting out of second gear and not performing for 90 minutes and not being that good, but still winning games. I think it falls into that category again. Thought Southend played all right in patches. Sol Campbell's first game. He'll have taken a few positives from that. They got the job done, Ipswich. They went back to basics. They competed. They matched them physically. And their class then showed in the moments that counted. And that's kind of been the tale of the season so far, hasn't it?
It's quite similar to, from Southend's point of view, quite similar to the Lambert effect that we saw when he came in to Ipswich sort of November last year. They were... By all accounts, they ran more, they had more energy, but ultimately the quality let them down. Whereas, like you just said, Ipswich had the quality, got the job done against a team that can't get the job done.
They're rubbish, aren't they, Southend? Real bad.
Not as bad as I thought.
I was expecting worse.
Were you?
Yeah.
So I was doing the job. One thing that we can talk about out of that game is injuries. Colescuse, the Jellyman, KVY. Big Daddy Kane himself, forced to come off, injured both of them. What's the latest on that? Obviously, we had a press conference this morning. Stu, you were speaking to Lambo, as you always do. What's the updates on those two?
Played his cards close to his chest.
Classic.
Ari Colescuse, which I interpret as probably isn't fit. I don't think they should be taking any undue risks with anyone at the moment. Vincent Young's had surgery. He's basically had the same operation as James Norwood on. It sounds like he's had a similar sort of groin niggle for a little while. I think it was clear when he came back, he missed... How many games did he miss?
Missed the Accrington game.
Was that it?
Yeah, he came off at Fleetwood, missed the Accrington game and played against Rotherham and he didn't look...
Didn't look right against Rotherham. Didn't look right in the opening stages against Southend. Looked like he didn't want to... His game's all about twisting and turning and step overs and sharp changes of direction and... A groin problem really restricts that, and it looked like he didn't really want to push off and accelerate and be explosive and dynamic. And it was no surprise when he overstretched right on the byline, and Andy said, "Oh, that looks like a groin tweaker." And
diagnosed.
Yes. Like
who's the doctor now? Eh?
Exactly.
Was it the wee nerve again in the groin?
It's just a wee nerve. Yeah,
it's the wee nerve.
The wee nerve. Is that what?
That's what James Norwood had. So he had a wee nerve problem.
Controls. When you urinate.
Yeah.
So that's hopefully sorted for Norwood, and hopefully no more weeing issues for KVY.
KVY. He's in Dubai, isn't he? Or Qatar or something at the moment?
Where's Doha?
No, Qatar. Idea. Qatar. With Towns Physio, I note, in one of your stories.
Nice little trip for...
Isn't it? Little jolly.
For Matt Byard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, KVY is out for a few weeks. How much of a blow is that for Town?
They haven't got anybody like-for-like replacement, have they? It's mix and match time, which is a blow. He might ultimately not actually miss that many games that he would have played in anyway, because there's a heavy cup schedule. After this game at Rochdale, it could be three straight cup games. If the Oxford game gets called off, you've got Lincoln, Colchester, and I hate to break it to everyone that the Lincoln game is probably going to go to a replay, which will
peak it, Twitch,
which will be the third one. And you have to think that Vincent Young probably wouldn't have played those games anyway, so he'd be back.
Then Oxford is off, so then the next league game after that is
Blackpool.
So he may even be back in time for that.
He might miss one league game.
Oxford's definitely off, is it? Sorry to interrupt. We're thinking it's going to be...
It's not official, but Paul Lambert's made it perfectly clear that he won't be changing his policy on that.
Judge has been called up already, hasn't he? Dobra has. And I think they, like last time, it kind of was triggered by getting the England under-20s list through, which includes Downs and Dizel. So, yeah.
Okay. Shall we talk briefly about, with KVY out, what options Lambo has? The Honey Badger, what's he going to do at the back? Obviously, he's without one of his key men.
Well, Janoi Danasian appears to be firmly in Siberia at the moment.
I don't
think he'll be coming back from there anytime soon.
He's not played a minute in the league since mid-August. That is very much exiled from the league side, isn't it?
So, his options really is to play Wolfenden at right-back, which is how they ended the game against Southend, or to go with wing-backs and play Gwion Edwards there. I think they're the two options for that right side.
Yeah, Wolfenden has to be in a back four, doesn't it? He can't play as a wing-back. He's a very comfortable on-the-ball central defender, but to play him essentially, basically, on the right of midfield, that's not for me.
Yeah, it's not for me either, but you say that. I don't know if you... Did you do the Crystal Palace Cup game a few years ago where a really young team put in a really good performance against a strong Palace side away, and Wolfie was right back that day, if I remember, and he was man of the match, and he a real attacking performance that day. He was pacey and he got forward and he dealt with Andros Townsend when he came on. So it's not out of the question to play right back, but I think
right back, I've got no problem with him playing right back.
Right wing back, no thanks. And if you're playing three at the back, wing backs, you need him in as one of the back three anyway.
What would you do? You're now a bad-tempered Scottish honey badger. What would you do? How would you go over the loss of KVY? What would you do?
Wolfenden. Yeah.
Stewie, same.
Yeah, I think the outfield 10 for Rochdale picks itself, and then it's just a question of what system you put them into. You either go 4-4-2 with Wolfenden at right-back, which is, I think, ultimately what I'd go with, because I just think it's more of a solid back-to-basics formation at the moment. They need to back up that Southend result to really put those two defeats behind them, and I think that gives you your best chance. The alternative would be to go with Wolfenden, Wilson, Chambers back three, Edwards right wing-back, Garbutt left wing-back, and then who have we got left central midfield? If Downs is suspended, Skews we think almost certainly is out, you're suddenly scrambling for three central midfielders there now. You've got Nolan would be a definite. Probably have to play Hughes, whose fitness is still a little bit, a few question marks over. And then you'd get Alan Judge into the midfield, I think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, the only other body is Dizel, isn't it?
Mm.
And I'm not sure about that at the moment.
Mm.
Roscoe, what would you do?
KVY. I don't know. I win back, so I want 4-4-2 really. Yeah. So I'll play Wolfie at right back.
I think I'm the same. I'm not sure about 4-4-2 either, but okay. a back four is. I would always play with a back four. Yeah.
The midfield three that we just discussed, potentially out of Hughes, Nolan, Judge, Dizel, I worry that as a three, that lacks the energy and the tenacity required for that, so I'd rather just go with the solid two banks of four on this occasion.
Okay, we'll come back to that later. We'll talk about Rochdale towards the end of this podcast. Stewie, last Thursday night, one of the reasons we couldn't do a podcast is you weren't working during the day because you were off to the supporters AGM in the evening, which is one of your yearly favourite things to do. just talk us through that. What kind of emerged? Obviously, you had the line from Lee O'Neill talking about January signings. Lambeau was there. He was in good spirits, was he, or not? Or
yeah, he was. Yeah, he worked the room quite well. Got a few laughs, and they're always quite interesting to see the manager in a different scenario, sort of talking directly with the fans. A smaller number of people because, you know, it's the first one in a long while where things have kind of been on the up. Normally people go there to have a bit
of
a moan.
That's interesting. Was it a smaller?
Yeah. I would say crowd. So. Yeah, I've seen bigger crowds when things aren't going as well. But it was a bit of a love-in at times. People, a lot of thank yous directly to Paul Lambert. Thank you for re-enthusing us and reconnecting, and you know, followed by applause from elsewhere in the room. But still a few sort of testing questions for Paul Lambert. They were asking about these international games potentially disrupting momentum. You know, why can't we give it a go? In the EFL Trophy, there was a you know, Paul Lambert said, well, I'll flip that back to you. Would you rather win the league or that competition? And somebody shouted from the back, both! And, you know, so there was some nice little moments in there. Lee O'Neill was talking about January, as you mentioned, stuff like that. So, yeah.
Did anybody ask about providing cups of tea at under 23 games?
Quite possibly, but the second half of the evening, when Lambert and co leave and they get onto the slightly drier stuff about match day catering, etc.
Dry.
I had my headphones in. I was writing the back page up by that point, so I wasn't particularly tuned in.
Not particularly thorough.
What is that like for you as a covering experience? Because most people, let's be honest, know this, don't they? Know the face. For those of you listening and not watching, which is all of you, I'm doing the circular face. So look, people know who you are. Do they kind of just let you get on with it, and or do they?
It's never been a problem.
Of course they do, old friend. They know who you are. You don't get people coming up to you saying, you should ask this, you should do this, and that's what I'm saying.
No, I try and hide myself away at those events. I found a little little cubby hole, and I just quietly listen in. It's not those events. We get enough chances to quiz Lambert and have our go at things. Those evenings are for the fans, and I just let everyone get on with it. A couple of people came up, said, why has there been no podcast, which was quite nice.
We are massive.
That's all right. Yeah, speak to a few people that you see on the circuit. You see people at games.
Well, we
see people at games, don't we? And at various fans' events and things like that. So you just say hello to people, yeah.
Nice. Let's talk about the main thing, which I found interesting from that.
The circuit.
On said circuit, Lee O'Neill admitted that Town will be looking, obviously, at January signings, saying that it has to be better than what we've got already. We've had a couple of questions in mailbag, which I just want to jump to now, just while we're on the subject. Tom just asked, Luke Garbutt signing, hopefully a permanent deal. Any suggestions for that? And Daniel Rockle says, do you feel we need to sign backup players in January, or is our current squad okay? I'd be good if we actually signed a goal scorer just to help us push and not slip like a few seasons ago. So what are your thoughts on January? Do Town need to sign players in January? Do they need a strike? Because obviously, as it stands, you've got Sears, who's back on the grass, boys, but still quite a long way off playing.
He's on a little bit of grass.
He's on a little bit of grass.
Just on a little bit. He's not on the big,
big. He will be eventually like a new signing.
He's jumping over hurdles at the moment, is what he's doing.
And Will Keane, who is not really putting up any trees as such. Obviously, Jordan Roberts, thus far, criminally overlooked in the league.
He's also injured.
And injured, whatever. You say injured, I say overlooked. and Aaron Drynan in the Super Wetton.
Criminally overlooked.
Absolutely.
We all agree on that.
So do Town need to sign another striker in January, and do they need to sign any other players in January?
For me, January recruitment needs to be more bigger picture. It needs to be, hopefully, they're still in this position. They're second now, aren't they? But hopefully top of the league come January, and you can start looking at players that are going to be part of Ipswich's future. It's a good time to recruit when you're doing well. It's a good sell. Hopefully halfway back to the Championship. If you can find players that you think are going to be part of the long term, hopefully part of the team in the Championship, that's how I would like Ipswich to recruit in January.
What are you saying, Stu?
Yeah, I agree. I think it will all come down to circumstances. A lot can change in the next few weeks. We've been talking about injuries. I think you asked about a striker. I think they're one striker injury away from definitely needing one. If Caden Jackson or James Norwood, touch wood, God forbid, were to get injured, they would definitely need to go and get someone.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because we don't know where Will Keane's at. Until he can start sustaining games back-to-back, you can't hang your hat on him. Freddie Sears, we don't know, you can't hang your hat on him being 100% for a little while. So, you know, and that will be the same across the pitch. If you're one or two injuries in key areas, you know, you would have to have a look at that. Mm. I still think maybe left back something that they'll look at with half an eye on the future to get Garber further forwards.
Also, potentially, maybe the one position you'd look at for a backup player now, maybe this highlights a need for another right back. If they really, really see themselves playing wing backs as a full-time thing, which I'm not convinced by, you need somebody that can play it behind Vincent Young, and they haven't got it. But I'm not convinced they'll do that.
The type of signings they'll make will probably be some sort of six-month loan deal for someone who is maybe coming to the end of their contract, and it leaves it open for both parties. If Ipswich don't go up, it gives them a bit of a get-out clause if they're too expensive as a League One signing for next year, or the player doesn't want to come because they haven't gone up. But all parties can then sort of assess it in the summer without being tied to something. That's the sort of thing that I could see them going for.
What about Luke Garbutt then? Tom asked about Luke Garbutt. We've talked about this before. Any logic in kind of beating the rush and trying to get that done on a full-time basis in January, do you think?
Yes and no. There's a long time between now and January. What's he played, like, what, 7 games? 8 games for Ipswich due to injury? Before I was kind of chucking the sink at him financially and trying to get that deal done, I'd maybe want to see a bit more. Mm. But we're only halfway through the winter kind of no transfer zone, aren't we? I don't know if I'd necessarily go all out to get a deal done in January, but I'd be talking to him about it. I'd gauge it. Because you can obviously get him for free in the summer. I'd be gauging that. I don't know if there's that much sense in being in the rush.
Would they still be head of the queue if Ipswich get promoted? What is the rush for Luke Garbutt? Championship clubs, yes. Top end championship clubs, possibly not. So I'd still think Ipswich should be front of the queue come next summer.
If he's playing as well, he's playing everywhere. He needs to play. He knows that as well. He seems like a sensible guy, doesn't he? He knows that he needs to find a home where he can play back-to-back seasons for the same club, and I think it would appeal if they got up. I'm not sure they need to rush, but I think it will happen. Maybe in the summer, though.
Okay. Grant Ward, someone Lambo talked about today. He's obviously still training at the club. Hutchie, I think you said that you think he might end up re-signing.
That was the Rotherham manager, Paul Warne.
Apologies, I mix you up all the time.
Very, very similar personalities, absolutely. Us two.
Grant Ward, what are you saying in terms of signings? Any merit in town bringing him back? Do you think it'll happen?
No, I quite like Grant Ward as a player, but I don't think they need him. I don't. If you're talking about him coming in as a winger, I'm not sure they need him, mate. Maybe a 6 month deal. I'm not sure that would be up. What Ward would be up for? If you're talking about him coming in as a Vincent Young kind of right back support, there, you're signing a round peg. What goes in what hole? Square peg goes.
Yeah,
you're
hole.
Signing. You're signing a square peg for a round hole, because I don't think he's an out and out wing back. Mm-hmm. So,
Brian Clough was always insistent that was his best position, and whenever he had his caretaker spells, and he played him there, and we never saw any evidence of that. But he thinks his best position is central midfield. So I guess you'd be signing him for scenarios like we've got at Rochdale tomorrow, where you're down on a few players. He'd be a backup option for right wing back, or he'd be a backup option for central midfield when you're down on numbers. But is he a long term signing? It depends how much Lambert likes him.
I don't think that he didn't use him that often, did he? I know obviously he got injured on Boxing Day, but he was in and out of the side under Lambert. I don't think he ever convinced Lambert that he was the man to hang his hat on. I don't know. I quite like him as a player when he's running and confident and taking someone on. I like him, but I'm not sure they need to bring in someone who's so far from match fitness on a short-term deal, which I think is what it would be. We wouldn't get enough out of him.
Roscoe, you've been very quiet so far.
Let an expert chat. So
right answer. Obviously, you mean those two, not me. Yeah. What would you do, January? You looking to sign players if you're Lambo?
Definitely a left back, as Steve said. I wouldn't sign Grant Ward.
Striker?
Striker, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then, yeah, look, just look for the future, you know, get some pre-contracts sorted.
The what, sorry? What, well, look for the what?
No, striker. And then no.
Look to the what?
Look to the future.
Excellent. Amazing. That's for you, Steve Mellon. I know you enjoy Roscoe's accent, as we all do.
You yeah. should make a Ross soundboard. Yeah. You can just press buttons and...
Shoo you, yeah.
Amused, Chalton, all that sort of stuff. Roscoe, we've talked about football for 25 minutes now. It's been quite intense. Let's have a light relief, shall we, with a bit of Mark's big question.
Mark's big question.
At the live pod, are you going to do that live? Although, to be fair, we might not even have a Mark's big question, might we? That's going to be difficult.
Why?
In a live environment, it'd have to be the right sort of question, wouldn't it?
We'll just come up with a predetermined one.
Good idea.
It's got to be there.
Okay.
It's my favourite bit.
Correct. Roscoe, again, because I want to get you involved. I want to warm you up nicely ahead of the strike later on. Pick a number between 1 and where are we now? 37.
Ooh.
We're getting through them. I'm not adding to them now.
Me and Hutch's favourite number, 12. I think that's your favourite number, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this is, unfortunately, this is actually a football question.
Oh, skip it.
That's good. All right, 1.
This is an interesting question, though.
Oh, okay.
Let's take it quickly.
Okay.
The best player you've ever seen live?
Haven't we done
Pretty
this
sure
one?
We've done this
Have
one.
Have we?
Yeah, probably.
And what did you say?
One of you would have picked 12.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Let's skip
Wayne
it.
Wayne Rooney, yeah. I think I said.
Fuck it off. What? Next question?
1.
1 is 3 things you hate.
No.
From the sublime to the ridiculous.
Lateness, I'll kick that off.
Oh. Yeah.
People who turn up consistently late.
Sorry.
I think it's a mark of
Ross,
what people think of you.
Yeah, disrespectful.
Do you want all 3? Bananas.
For those of you thinking that's a flippant answer,
it's
Hutchie
not.
Genuinely hates bananas.
Hates them.
And you list... as among the worst moments of your life, the time your wife threw a banana skin at you and it hit you in the face.
She placed it on my face.
That's
well,
right.
I think I was asleep. Just awful act of... Oh, just awful. They're awful.
Why? What's...
Oh, just...
We've discussed this before, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah.
Is it the waxiness of the outer shell?
Well, yeah, it's the wax... Yeah, it's devious. The outer shell is all waxy and actually can be quite nice, the outer shell of that. You get inside and it's just like... an oozing pus of like it just makes that noise at you. I've got brown oozing nonsense just.
And also what's the sort of the stuff you have to kind of peel off inside the actual the kind of stringy bits?
It's not for me.
I do like bananas. Right, so we're going round a circle now. This is the way it's going to work. So you said lateness, Hutch, you said bananas. I'm going to add cling film into the mix. Cling film is shit.
What don't you like about it? Is it?
Well, because you try and tear it off and invariably there's a massive hole ripped in it. It then wraps around itself. It's kind of wrapped all over your hands.
There's a technique. I only learned recently that, did you know in cling film, you push the little tabs in at the end of the box.
Do you not know
and
this?
And the tabs go into the inner part of the roll and that holds the roll in
that?
Place.
Mark Heath's face right now is incredible.
That's a life hack for you.
This is revelatory.
And then it just pulls out.
I might have to revise my whole opinion. If I can actually tear off cling film without it ripping a massive hole in the middle of it.
And then if your budget allows, you can get the ones with the little flappy cutter lids, can't you?
Oh, someone's doing all right for themselves.
No, I don't do that.
Right, so I've got cling film. Roscoe?
Snow.
You hate snow?
I don't like snow.
Why?
Just ruins people's day, do you know?
Does it? Depends what you've got to do.
If it's too much snow.
If you haven't got to go out, it's lovely. Yeah.
No, I just don't like snow.
Have you ever had a snow-related accident?
No.
Yellow snow, all that?
No.
You've never fallen over in the snow?
No.
I find that hard to believe for someone as accident prone and generally ill of health as you.
It's cold as well, isn't it?
It is cold.
That's a good point.
That is cold.
Just don't like snow.
Okay, so we've got cling film, snow, lateness, bananas. Back to you, Stewie.
People exaggerating their lives on social media.
Oh.
Just in general, so yeah, just, oh, look at me, I'm tagged here, look at these pictures. No.
You're generally...
Who are you trying to impress?
Generally, you have the attitude towards social media of a 75-year-old man.
Another one of social media. Couples who message each other publicly on Facebook or social media. You're in the same room. Talk to each other.
Are you talking about Mr. and Mrs. Waghorn?
Do they do that?
Yeah, they do that quite a lot.
Well, yeah, then I'm talking about them.
On Instagram.
They talk to each other on Instagram?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Can I pick a social media thing as well
yes.
that I hate? I hate when people post a picture of a roast dinner on social media.
Why?
Because they don't look... I know that your roast dinner tastes amazing. Yeah. I know that it does.
Just roasts are we talking about?
Yeah, yeah, very specific.
Not just any food.
No, very, very specific. Okay. I know that it's going to taste really nice, but it doesn't look good. It doesn't look any better than anybody else's. It's all just the individual stuff put on a plate. It's no better than anyone else's, but I know it tastes good. You don't need to tell me.
Okay, fair enough. Can I just go back briefly to Stu's point about tagging people and stuff? This is not one of my three hates. I'm having a bonus on top of that.
I know what you're going to say.
People who tag themselves at hospital. What's that about?
Everything okay?
Usually with a feeling worried at Ipswich Hospital. There's nothing more attention seeking than that.
Just a generic, what a day. Some people just leaves it hanging there.
Exactly.
Hope everything's okay, hun.
You're okay,
yeah, I'm
hun.
Fine. I'm fine. Just letting off some steam.
It's okay. Thanks, babe. So that's my bonus one. Number two on my list of three things that I hate is people who don't pick up after their dogs. This makes me unreasonably angry. And I'm generally quite an angry
man. I'd say
that's
quite reasonable.
Yeah. Because
it's awful.
As a dog owner myself... I think it gives us a bad name. It's also disgusting when you walk around the village or anywhere.
Or to the dentist.
Or to the dentist, as I found out the other week. And you step in it. And I don't know about you, but the sort of shoes that I wear tend to have sort of little tread in it and stuff. And it takes ages to get it out, doesn't it?
Do you get a stick?
I get a hot kettle first of all.
Awakens the smell.
Yeah, yeah, hot kettle first of all, pour it on, and then try and wipe it off with a stick. It makes me so angry. And also, it's just really bad. Really bad for you.
Yeah.
People, you know, anyway. I'm angry about that. Not as angry as number three, I'll come to that in a minute. But number two for you, Roscoe.
There's another social media thing. I hate people when they check in.
Check it what? Like where?
Just where they're going. I'm here.
Costa Coffee.
Yeah. But I hate, the one thing I hate most is when they tag me in it. We're going somewhere and they go.
So this is someone close to you. Is this Sasha? Are you taking
name
of Sasha?
Sasha doesn't do that. No.
Sasha wouldn't do that.
No.
She would not do that.
She would not do that. She's perfect. So people who tag you or tag themselves anywhere or innocuous locations.
Yeah, just that. Or just anywhere. It's like,
So say you're covering, I don't know, England football at Wembley.
Yeah.
That's quite a big Billy Big Balls thing to do.
Well, you know, I just do it afterwards, you know.
Okay. Fair enough.
Or just tell people who are close to me.
Okay.
You know.
So...
I wouldn't check in. Oh, I'm at Wembley now. A lot of people do that.
Yeah, so you've got checking in, snow, I've got people who don't pick up dog poo, and I've got, what was my first one?
Cling film.
Hutchie's got bananas and pictures of roast dinner, and Stewie, you've got social media generally, I think it's probably more accurate for you.
Yeah, I could be here all day on social media.
And lateness. So your final thing you hate, Stewie?
I'll come back to me. I can't think of anything at the minute.
He's a man
Carry
with not enough hate. Hutchie?
Things that I hate. I don't hate very much.
Come on, you do.
What
really grinds your gears? Come on.
Oh, I've got one.
Yes.
People, personal space. People who invade your personal space unnecessarily. Well, there's... Ross just gave me a little stroke there. That's fine.
That was warranted.
You have to earn that, though. And Ross has earned that ability to invade my personal space. Public transport, when there's a whole load of seats available and someone comes and sits next to you.
Oh.
You can go anywhere else. Go to a urinal. They're all available. Someone comes and does it next to you.
Very strange.
What are you doing?
That's odd behaviour.
That's very strange behaviour. A fellow journalist touched my head at a game last season, didn't he, Stu?
Mm.
I didn't like that.
What for?
I don't know.
Just ruffled your hair.
Affectionately, or...?
It was meant to be. I didn't like
you
it.
You didn't take it.
Freaked out, didn't you?
Yeah.
So, Stewie, when you say personal space, you're talking about people getting close to you to talk to you, or just generally...
those two examples that I've used.
Okay.
Among others.
Back to you, Hutchie. Haiti Hutchie.
Number three.
Yes.
When people fail to follow the swim clockwise or anti-clockwise guidelines in a swimming pool and just go up and down as they please. There's a system for a reason.
Yeah.
Swimming all in the same direction in a little mini circle in the lane means that as many people as possible can have a good swim, get their lengths in. If you swim up and down, just up and down like a ferry going up and down your lane, that's it. You're taking that area of the pool to yourself.
There's a lot of etiquette in that, isn't
ridiculous.
There?
They probably didn't indicate on their way to the swimming pool as well.
No, they probably didn't.
Right, my third and final thing that I hate, and this is quite a big one, is people.
Oh.
I generally have a thing about not really liking people as a whole. I like persons. I like all of you persons in here. People as a whole, bunch of twats. Vote for Trump, vote for Brexit, all that sort of stuff. Drop bombs on each other. Bell ends. More specifically within that, smug parents I hate. Now, I'm not including you in this. You're two very good parents. But parents who feel the need to tell me immediately what little Billy is doing at school. Do I want to see a picture of little Billy and his shit painting that he's done? No, I do not. Incredibly average.
This feeds back into the start of our show every week where you say, what have we been up to? And Andy and I, without fail, will say, not much. Because we are aware that it's not of interest to people, and just have a filter of what is interesting to us is not interesting to everyone else. And this is what I say about social media. Just think, stop and think.
We have a few offenders in our office when I come to smug parents, one particular.
Who?
Yeah, I think we all know who.
Okay.
Talks at very loud volume about children and what they've been up to. And
okay, yeah, I'm with you.
Do you know what I'm talking about? And
like
I find
skiing.
Yeah, I find it incredibly annoying, unreasonably annoying. And also, among the parent thing, is parents who assume that because they've got kids, that makes them more important somehow than anyone else. Therefore, they should have first choice of holidays. They definitely shouldn't have to work at Christmas because I've got kids. So I haven't got kids, so obviously I love working at Christmas. That kind of thing. Not pointing the finger at you. You two are excellent parents. But generally speaking, I think we all know what I'm talking about, do we not?
Yes.
Excellent. Roscoe, your third and final hatred thing, please.
When people play music...
Music?
Because I love music, but it's been happening a lot recently on the bus where people just play music just out loud, not putting my headphones in or anything.
Yeah.
Get your headphones in.
Yeah. Earphones are very affordable.
Yeah.
I feel like we've struck a rich vein here. I think Stu could do a
I was about... honestly, there was a guy at Southend who...
Oh, my word.
After the game, we were on deadline. We're typing away. You're dictating up quotes. Put your headphones in. This guy was just playing it out. And when you dictate something, you play a few seconds of it. You rewind. You play it again. You rewind. You play it again. He was doing this out loud in a very tight environment. So he was invading my personal space and orally... He was invading my personal space as well.
That whole setup at Southend invaded my personal space. It invaded my Sunday as well because I was in pieces. I don't know about what were you like on Sunday after that?
Yeah, I was in bits.
Awful.
It looked pretty bad, boys.
Oh,
I've got to say.
Horrible.
You basically look like you're in a tiny glorified greenhouse.
Does this happen on the bus quite a lot,
yeah,
Russ?
Just always want the same guys work because I normally get the similar bus time and he comes on and he just. Oh no!
Just get his phone, throw it out the window.
Yeah. Honestly, do it.
I take this from you every day.
What is he saying? Is he saying I've got a really cool choice of music and everyone's going to really be impressed?
He goes right at the back as well. Goes right at the back, so he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm cool."
That also feeds into another one of mine. People, you're out for a meal, and people usually on the table next to you or near you, they talk incredibly loudly, and it's like the arrogance that. I can't hear my own conversation, but I'm being forced to listen
to
yours.
But I have to hear what Carol did on Thursday night.
Yeah. About chucking some skis in the range and going skiing, usually. That makes me very angry. Boys, I think we could do a whole thing on this.
We really could.
We've been doing this for 15 minutes, and
we've done more angry chat than football chat.
I've got to be honest, I've got loads more still.
Yeah.
Should we do a segment, just a sounding off segment every week.
Fixing. Good, I enjoyed that. It's one of the best Mark Speed questions ever. Excellent work, Ross, by picking said question. Hereth endeth Mark Speed question for another week. Let's get back into the football and let's talk keepers. Because young Mr. Norris stepped in for large Mr. Holy at Southend unexpectedly. That was unexpected, wasn't it? There was no injury issue. Lambert just thought Norris needed a game. And you asked him about that this morning, Chewy, in terms of who's going to play at Rochdale tomorrow. He said he's already made his mind up. What are we thinking? Who's going to be in that goal tomorrow? And who should be in that goal tomorrow?
Both nodding at each other. I think Thomas Holy should be in that goal tomorrow. I'm very passionate about that. Because when on the back of two defeats, which is what it was going into Southend, the nuclear option is to change the goalkeeper, and that makes quite the statement. You've changed your goalkeeper on the back of your only two defeats of the season. But it turned out after the game, I can understand Lambert's reasoning with it, that yeah, you do need a backup goalkeeper who's kind of primed for action, and if you genuinely think they're pretty equal, which I think is the opinion, then he needs a game. However, I don't think Holy had done anywhere near enough wrong to be dropped. I kind of don't now think he was dropped at Southend, but if he doesn't play at Rochdale, he's been dropped, and I don't think he deserves that. He's been good.
Stewie?
I feel like I haven't seen enough of Will Norris to kind of make enough of an informed decision on this. He might be outstanding, Will Norris, and from what we've read and heard, he is very highly rated. Wolves have given him a longer term contract and maybe see him as a Premier League goalkeeper in waiting, so I don't know. He might turn out to be brilliant, but I agree with Andy, it's very harsh on Holy.
I think either way we're going to get to see. I think by the end of November you'll know a lot more about Will Norris, because if he doesn't play at Rochdale, we've already mentioned the cup schedule that's coming up, you'd imagine he would play in them. So either way we're going to see both of them this month, but for me it's Holy for now.
Roscoe, you sit pitch side, you see these two big boys battling it out with the gloves on. Who are you starting at keeper?
Holy, I think he's more vocal than Norris. I know he's only had that one game.
Yeah.
I'm only playing the cup as well, but I'll go Holy.
And Holy.
As like you said, if he does not play at Rochdale, then he has been dropped, but I don't think he deserves it. So
3 votes for the Holy goalie.
Who are you going with?
I'll definitely go Holy, mate. Definitely. Based on the amount of times I've seen him play this season, absolutely Holy all the way from
6'7".
Mick McCarthy used to talk about Bart and Gherkin like this, didn't he? About two goalkeepers that you couldn't put. Did he call it a fag packet?
I think so.
Is that
what
it was called? Couldn't fit that between them. And I think you've probably got that again now. Will Norris is, by all accounts, a very, very good goalkeeper. And he made one particularly good save at Southend, didn't he, late on? But I think, in the interest of fairness, Holy's my man.
Holy is the man. Let us know what you think about that. Boys, it's the moment the podcast universe has been waiting for. The reason that people tune in these days. The best and worst bits of radio simultaneously has ever been.
Podcast jingle, yeah?
It is time for the strike.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Strike! Brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth, producer Ross!
I didn't bring paper for you guys, so it will just be...
It's alright.
Just guess. Yeah. It's back. It's not been cancelled, so...
A bit more energy, please, Ross. Come on.
Same format, as always.
Yes.
Who am I first? What's the current record at the moment?
I think it's 2-1-1, isn't it?
I think I'm winning.
I think you're winning, and it's 2-1-1, yeah.
Okay.
This one actually counts, of course, because we're all here.
Yeah, brilliant. So who am I? This is a current town player. It's not a clue, but it's just current town player.
Remind me, who are we buzzing in? Or
shouting out. Yeah, shouting out.
But if you shout and get it wrong, you're out. So current town player.
Yep. Clue one. He started his career at Stockport County in 2009 and has a brother who also is a footballer.
I enjoyed the way you said footballer. Anyone buzzing in here? I'm not.
No, not just yet.
Stu looks like he might be quite confident he's got it already.
I don't know. I'm not ready to gamble. Carry on.
Okay. Clue two. He joined Ipswich in January 2017 and has since made just 23 appearances. Ooh.
Is it Danny Rowe?
It is.
Oh.
Yeah. Links up with Lincoln.
Good work, Stu.
So there we go.
So Stu's one up.
1-0.
Well done, mate.
Now it's time to get ridiculous with Town Flashback.
Yes. This is multiple choice.
Now, who remembers Paul Taylor?
Yep.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
He scored his one and only goal for Town in the 3-2 win at Blackpool in 2013.
Yep.
But how many appearances did he make?
Ooh. I was expecting a minute question there. How many appearances did he make? What are the options?
23, 25 or 27.
It's always two between them, isn't there? It's got to be. I'm going to say 23.
Okay.
I'm going to say 25.
Okay.
Go on.
And to make this fun, I'll say 27.
Yeah. The jeopardy here.
25.
Oh.
Come on.
Score, please, Ross.
1-1-0.
1-1-0, yes.
Hat-trick time.
Boy.
John Walters scored a hat-trick in Town's 6-0 win at Bristol City. No, against Bristol City in 2007. But how many goals did he score during the 2007-08 season?
Okay.
13.
Mm-hmm.
15.
No, 17.
Or 17. Yeah.
Always the same. 2007-08, you say. Interesting. Yep.
Can I just point out that some of the feedback to Ross post the strike was that doing a range of answers that was 21, 22, 23 wasn't acceptable, so he's now just gone. He's just gone for
just
two.
Got an extra one on, yeah. I'm going to go, what are the options, 13, 15 or 17?
Yes.
I reckon he scored 15 goals.
Okay.
Are you mad? 13.
No way. The other one.
17. How many did he get, Ross?
13.
Oh.
Idiot.
Did you actually know that?
No.
Of course you did. That's 2-1-0.
Cool. Another hat-trick. Darren Murphy scored a hat-trick in Town's 5-0 win at Rotherham.
Please be a minute.
No.
Oh.
In 2015. How many goals did he score during his time at Town?
In total?
Yes, in total.
Across his three spells?
Yes.
Can I give you a fun fact about that hat-trick?
Go ahead.
After the game, I spoke to him after the game and he was wearing a red velvet tracksuit and it was really nice.
Like all in one?
Yeah. Head to toe, red velvet. Amazing.
Like something that...
Continue.
Missy Elliott would wear. Anyway. Yeah.
He looked great.
This time it's, I've gone for three. 64, 67 or 70.
Total goals. Daryl Murphy scored for Ipswich Town. I love this theme.
So, what are the options again?
64.
And then
67,
you know the rest.
Or 70.
I'm going to say 67.
Okay.
I'm also going to say 67.
Okay.
I'm also going to say 67.
That's correct.
I actually knew that.
Yeah, so did I.
So yeah. That's 3-2-1.
Okay. Town beat Middlesbrough 3-1 in the League Cup third round in 2002. But who did they lose on penalties in the next round? Liverpool, Chelsea or Everton?
When's this?
Wait. 2002. So they lost on penalties in the next round.
This is well before my time watching Town.
Liverpool, Chelsea or Everton?
Everton.
Okay.
Liverpool. The answer is Liverpool. Oh.
Okay, that's correct.
They also lost another penalty shootout later that week.
Yeah. Where are we now? Is that multiple choice done? Or
yeah, so I've got the Rochdale one.
Okay.
We haven't played them before, but a player has played for them before as well. Played for Town and Ipswich.
Yeah.
Pim Pockstein.
Pockstein, yeah.
That guy.
Lovely man.
Yeah.
Tall.
Little. He looks very intense as a... Is that,
no, he's no? Quite, is that... quite just softly spoken and just a very happy Dutchman. That's my memory of interviewing him.
Good. But yeah, which Dutch club did he join Town from in 2008? Heerenveen, Feyenoord or FC 20?
I think it was Feyenoord.
Okay.
Heerenveen.
It's Heerenveen.
That's how it's out. There you go.
I'm getting crushed. So who won? I think you won then, didn't you?
It's another win for me. Chalk me up.
There you go.
High five.
Chalk me up.
And put it on the wall now.
So Hutchie is now 3-1-1 up in the series.
Yeah.
Roscoe, do you want to outro the strike? Some of your best work, I thought.
Yeah, I thought that as well. I'll upgrade the general knowledge.
I think your questions are getting better.
Yeah.
Still not quite there.
Maybe move away from numbers would be my feedback.
Yeah. But I liked it. Well done.
But you had all the correct answers available.
And they're all bold as well. So
baby steps. Yeah,
baby steps.
Well
there
done.
You go. Their additional strike done. Happy days.
There'll be more of that.
That's it.
There'll be more of that next week.
Yes.
So do tune in. I hope you're playing along at home. Boys, let's talk a bit more football before we get onto mailbag.
That's all too.
Stuart Watson, that's you.
That is me.
Wrote an excellent piece last week about your November wish list. Things you would like to see happen at Ipswich Town.
I'll talk you through the logic of that piece.
Go for it.
No game.
Yeah.
Andy's off.
Yeah.
How are we going to fill the newspaper? Oh, it's the 1st of November tomorrow. Here's my November wish list.
Exactly. And that you've gone early. Superb.
People normally do Christmas wish lists. So why not November?
We can use it again.
Why not?
Christmas wish list. Look out for that coming to a newspaper near you soon. November wish lists. I want us to go all round the room here and maybe give one or two things we'd like to see from town in November. Stewie, you wrote the wish list.
Mm.
Therefore, you start the wish list. What do you want to see from town in November?
I want to see Alan Judge rediscover his mojo.
Yeah, baby.
Which is not a word you use in a normal walk of life, is it?
No.
But yeah, I just want to see Alan Judge get back to form, because he had a very lively little cameo at the back end of the South End game. He looked very much like his old self. Paul Lambert recognised that, and very readily forgotten what a good player Alan Judge is based on a pretty flat start to the season. But I think there's a lot of things gone into that. The QPR move that didn't happen, family issues with his daughter needing a fairly serious operation. He's moved house to Suffolk. I'm hoping now all that stuff has started to settle down and the real Alan Judge will stand up again, because that will make a massive difference.
Hutchie.
A cup win, please. Maybe even two. Because second round's at the end of November, isn't it?
It is 30th, yeah.
Yeah.
A cup win.
Please. Yeah.
Is it going to happen? Probably not, is it? Let's be honest.
My gut feeling is no.
Really?
It really is my gut, feeling.
What, replay?
I genuinely believe that it's going to go to a replay and they're going to lose. Just like they did at Accrington. They went back there, lost that.
Okay.
Home game against Lincoln.
It's the same as Lincoln last time then.
Yep. History repeats again. That's my gut feeling. I hope I'm wrong, because I love the FA Cup. And it'd be nice if Ipswich did too.
Mm. I'm going to go for... I want to see another confirmed case of full Honey Badger mode, please. For no other reason than I like seeing it and it's good fun to talk about. Are there any particular games where that might happen? He says, trying to remember the fixture list.
There aren't really any managerial tussles that might bring it. Although Michael Appleton of Lincoln is absolutely ripped.
He's ripped?
His arms are huge.
Really?
So yeah, he's a big boy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's bulked up.
Okay.
So if Lambert chose that one, he might need to call on Jim Henry.
Let's do it, Lambo. Let's tussle on the sideline with big boy. Roscoe, what do you want to see in November?
This is more for me.
not ask Sasha to marry you.
No. Not to rain when we play games. I know it's going to be cold now.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, that's going to happen, but don't rain.
Do not rain. That's a good one. And definitely no snow.
Yeah, snow as well.
Because that also will mean the games are off.
No, because there's been a lot of games postponed recently.
Yeah.
So a waterlogged pitch and stuff, so don't rain.
That's a good point, that we're now playing at League One grounds where...
Mm.
You know, if there is a cold snap or some really wet weather, that could be some more postponements on the
way.
Big time. Are we going to go around again, or should we leave it there? November wish list. Have you got any other wishes for this month?
I haven't read your piece.
I can tell you the other things that are in there.
Go for it.
I wanted them to back up the South End result tomorrow, because I think that's really important that they do that. The cup was something that I mentioned. Get through in the cup, and then I want them to get Chichester in the next round, who got the bye, that would be the lowest ranked side. Or Maldon, if they managed to somehow get through. That would be fun. What else did I put in there, Mark? Do you remember?
I don't. I skim read it at best.
Yeah.
Did you not say
someone
something?
Someone read it, mate. Someone did.
I did, but forgot.
Honestly, I read so much stuff, I can't actually remember. Did you mention strikers in there?
Injuries. I want some injury good fortune.
That's right, yep.
It's not started great.
No.
You said about youngsters maybe coming through.
Yeah, EFL Trophy game. This silly little game at Colchester, which hasn't got a lot riding on it, where Ipswich will essentially be the home crowd there. Who knows? Maybe somebody will emerge from the under-23s and put their hand up. And there's always someone that comes from left field. Jack Lancaster last season. You know, someone, Tyrese Simpson scoring goals for the 23s. Tommy Hughes has had a few little moments so far. Someone like that as a surprise starter and really catches the eye.
Slightly above that level, but I'd quite like Dobra to have a moment to kind of just put that Accrington red card behind him, just to have a little moment, just remind us remind us what he can do and put that behind him and get back on again.
Let's hope for a good November. Boys, it's time for mailbag. We are still doing the jingle live, are we not? We don't have a recorded version as yet.
No. People don't want a recorded version.
They want to see it on the night, yeah. So who's doing it? You, Hutchie?
Does anyone want to join me?
No.
Okay. You're the maestro.
Mailbag, mailbag. It's time for Mark, Andy, Stu and Ross to dip into the mailbag. Doo-doo.
Perfect.
The original is still the best. That was superb. Thanks. My friend. It's great to have you back. And I like your jumper.
Okay.
Now then.
I like your little beard.
First.
Should wear tighter trousers.
I actually checked there to see if Hutchie had a little beard. More for me.
I can't grow one of them.
Right, first of all, James Johnson, JJ, says, please never get rid of the strike.
Thanks.
There's a vote from JJ.
Get in.
And Thomas Seggins, I believe, is one of your drivers, is he not?
Yes.
Wants to know, has Ross eaten all of them Jaffa cakes yet?
I bought some more, so no, but yeah.
If you will never eat all of them.
If you want to get into Ross's good graces, buy him some Jaffa cakes.
No, I bought them myself, but we had a little pit stop at Tesco's, and for a triple pack, it was £1.25, so I thought, bargain. Got two packs.
Bosh.
There you go.
Cool story, bro. Yeah.
Tom got some as well, so there you go.
Harvey Davis.
Friend of the show.
Number 4, 3, 3. Harvey says, after Lambert was so insistent on playing 4-3-3 last season and rumours of him coming up with presentations, etc. on that system style of play, do you think 4-4-2 was stumbled on based on personnel or planned at the end of last season?
I think Caden Jackson's form from pre-season onwards has been the big reason behind 4-4-2 being used as much as it has done.
Fair.
Okay. George, we've already talked about this. George, I just want to give you a shout-out. He's asked about why do you think Hardy was dropped and will Norris get run inside. Sindre Eliasson wants to know, who's got the best Barnet, Lambo or the Doctor? Is he being a little bit facetious there from Sindre?
With the greatest of respect, I don't think Stu's got a Barnet.
No.
So he can't have the best. He's got a lovely head.
Is a shaved head a Barnet in itself? Is it a look?
It's a look.
It is a look.
It's not really through choice, is it? Let's be honest. Mm,
true. So we're saying Lambo there.
Are you due another shave?
Please, can we clip that up? Can we clip that up, please, and play it at the end? We've got to use that. Amazing. Question that Hutchie asks you all the time.
What's the answer?
They're very close.
Yeah, probably. Do you want to do it again?
Yes, please. I've been working on my technique.
If you haven't seen that, go to our Instagram page and look on the stories. It's on there. Hutchie shaving Stew, if you want to see that. If that's what you've always wanted to see. You can
head
see it
only.
There. Don't spoil it. The pin.
Friend of the show.
He's number two.
He is number two.
Yeah. He starts off with a statement. All hail James Norwood. It's no coincidence we lost the two games he missed. He's a focal point, a physical presence and a laugh off the field. Just what we needed last season. Player of the year in waiting. The best signing we've made in the past 10 years. Wow, the pin.
Who are the other contenders for
no
that?
No hashtag turmoil there. And then he also goes on to say, in honour of Paul Lambert's first anniversary... Are you all right, Roscoe?
Ross has gone.
I'm good.
What's up?
He's laughing because you said, all hail James Norwood, and then I raised my hand to hail him, but I think Ross inadvertently misinterpreted said gesture as a Zeke Heil, a fascist salute, which was not intended to be.
Okay.
But Ross has now lost his head, so...
Head's gone. Luckily, the pin wants to know, in honour of Paul Lambert's first anniversary as Ipswich boss, what is the best type of celebratory cake? My top three, lemon with icing on top, no arguments. Number two, red velvet. And number three says, marble, an underrated classic. You're having a cake. It's celebration time. What sort of cake are you having?
Ginger.
Ooh, you dirty boy. That's a great shout. Jamaican ginger cake.
Ginger is hot, and it's with some either ice cream or custard.
Ooh.
That's me.
Ooh. Do you make that? But you make that.
I can.
Of course you can.
I actually had a Jamaican ginger cake last week. A whole one.
It's nice when it's fiery, isn't it?
It wasn't a whole one, it was half one. But yeah, very nice.
I'm going carrot cake all day long. That's tremendous.
Ross is not impressed with that.
Well, that's vegetables, isn't it? Ross doesn't eat vegetables.
Utter disgust.
Vegetables or cake?
You must have had a carrot cake before.
Yeah, but I didn't like it.
Oh, okay, of course. All right. You like a meat cake. What would you have cake-wise?
I know it's a bit boring, but I like a Victoria sponge.
Ah, oh, that's not boring at all, my friend.
No, I think it's just, yeah.
That's a classic. Yeah. A Vicky sponge would be right there for
it's
me.
It's cake in its purest form, a real test of whether you can bake.
Yeah. You want the sweetest buttercream and the finest jam, and the lightest sponge there. It's delicious. If you are just tuning in, this is the Ipswich Town podcast. Stuart Watson, what cake do you want?
Red velvet would be up there.
Yep.
Vicky sponge, as discussed, would definitely be in the mix. But if I'm eating emotively...
Which we know you like to do.
Exactly. I'm just going for an all-out sort of like death by chocolate sort of dense...
As much chocolate as you can get on
fudge,
there.
Chocolate fudge. Eat my feelings. Cake. Yeah.
Outstanding.
Banoffee's also in the mix.
Oh, banoffee.
Well.
Banoffee pie.
In an interesting quirk...
Yeah.
I actually quite like banana bread / banana cake.
Yeah.
Banana cake is amazing.
Yeah, but bananas are hell.
But I don't suppose you have to confront directly
the
banana.
This is it. I'm a wimp.
They've been disarmed.
It's hidden within the cakey layer. King Arthur Pickthorn, is there room on the pitch for Judge and Nolan to play together? I hope the answer is yes, but they do like playing the same areas and are similar footballers. Can they play together?
Yes, because I think good footballers... can play together, and I think it will probably happen at Rochdale because I think Judge will play, if it's 4-4-2, I think Judge will play wide, and Nolan will play through the middle.
Yeah, I think I don't see any reason why they can't.
Okay. Christian Davis, the results went predominantly in our favour at the weekend, still second with two games in hand on most teams, piss the league and all that. Which sides, however, should we be concerned about? Peterborough, their front two are on fire, aren't they? They're scoring goals for fun.
Front three. Say. Not yeah, three. If you throw Madison in the mix there as well.
Are we worried about Peterborough?
Yeah, I think you have to be, don't you?
Did you see Darren Ferguson's comments, by the way, about had we played Bolton's youth side, we'd be top of the table?
Yeah, if they'd beaten Blackpool on Saturday, they'd be top of the table as well, wouldn't they?
So
if they hadn't conceded a 94th minute equaliser to Ipswich, they'd be top of the table as well.
Yeah, so pipe down, Darren. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, just calm down.
So Peterborough, we worried about Peterborough. Anyone else town should be concerned about?
Most impressed I've been with is up there is Doncaster in terms of a performance against Ipswich, and they've handed out some big beatings to people. So I think they'll be in the mix come the end of it. Intrigued to see what Wickham are like, the surprise package.
That's fascinating, isn't it? Because we thought they'd be long gone, didn't we? We thought that was an early season shooting out the gate job, but. They're very much still there.
Fleetwood looked handy as well, despite the fact that Ipswich managed to get the win up there. I think they'll stay up there as well.
And you can't discount Sunderland either, can you, from this, surely?
No. And Rotherham as well, I think, have got, from what we saw of them, they look a better side than their position suggests, and they could have a bit of a run into things at the moment. Portsmouth have been the real surprise one in terms of not being as good as we thought they would be.
Oxford too. We've not seen them yet, but they are very much in form. So there's some good teams in the league.
They were scoring bare goals, weren't they, Oxford?
Bare goals.
Nigel G, the man holding the fish in his avatar, the @ITFC Honey Badger, the legend himself. Did any of you watch the Great British Bake Off final last week? Were you pleased with who won?
No.
No, neither was I. He deserved
He's smug.
To win. He's very smug.
He did deserve to win because the others fell apart.
Was it the
pressure.
Guy with the glasses? Did he win?
No.
I haven't watched it for months.
It was my personal favourite going in was Mrs. Fringe, and she fell apart. She completely crumbled, didn't she? She went to pieces. Anyway.
Can I just interrupt here?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done this for quite some time, but on a whim...
I'm excited.
I'd quite like to name a new friend of the show, if that's all right.
Wow.
Oh.
I haven't done this that for
is,
a while.
Wow.
This is completely out of the blue because I thought we were going to probably crown the 10th friend of the show at the live podcast.
Is this the 10th one?
This will be the 10th one, yeah.
Now we'll just crown another
so
one.
So we started with 5 and you've added 4.
Are we really
right?
At 10?
Yeah.
Who's the 9th one?
Oh no, Little Melon Man was number 8, wasn't he?
There
we go.
In that case, on you go, son.
Right, and I'm doing this for you as well.
Yeah.
This is mainly for you. And it is going to be Nigel G.
Is it?
The man with the fish.
Oi!
Because... services to the honey badger industry.
Indeed.
It was not a thing. But, through hard work from yourself and your disciples, Nigel G, chief among them,
yeah,
It became a bit of a thing. He's been with you since the beginning.
Yes, he has.
A coaster now exists.
Yes.
Which means I'm happy to say that it is a thing. Nigel played a big part in that. Nigel G, you and your fish, crucially,
yeah,
are now friends of the show. Welcome to the club.
Well done, woo! Nigel. Round of applause for you, my friend. Nigel. And fittingly, in said tweet, he has included, do you know if any of the hashtag honey badgers emojis, honey and badger squad, are secret bakers? And if not, who do you think would be a good baker in the town squad?
Would be a good baker.
Cole Skews, surely. Strikes me as a homely sort of guy.
Good baker. I'm not convinced there's much culinary ability within that squad whatsoever.
Usually, when you see the likes of MasterChef celebrities, sports folk do quite well because they have to be aware of nutrition and they're used to cooking stuff. You don't
like Neil Ruddock.
Neil, yeah. He got to the final, my friend. And all he did was fish and chips.
He's every man. He represents the real people.
Big hearty food. That's what I like. He got to the final. But normally they do well. But you're saying, Ipswich Town players, no.
I'm not convinced.
Probably not either. I remember reading something in the programme where somebody called out Toto Ensiala's approach at... He combined some sort of sweets with... I've lost it now. I can't remember what it was, but it was horrific. He'd combined two things that weren't meant to be combined together. Anyway, they've got a Michelin star chef, guy called Adam Gooderham, who
Michelin starred. Are you sure about that?
For the club,
is that true? Has he got a Michelin star?
You know how big a deal
Stuart Taylor or Jim Henry claimed that he has got a Michelin star.
His food looks incredible.
He was poached from a restaurant, and he works full time for the football club. We sampled some of his food while we was away in Germany. It was excellent.
It was very
good. I've seen some pictures of his cakes that he's knocking up.
I think he might be making cakes to celebrate wins. I think if they win, he does a big old cake.
Okay.
And they've won quite a lot, so there's been quite a lot
of cake. I'm not being funny, but if he's actually got a Michelin star, that is a massive deal. That he's the club chef. Because he could be running his own restaurant earning hundreds of thousands of pounds a year.
I mean, Jim Henry may have just thrown this out there.
I don't think he's got a Michelin star.
No, I'd be staggered if he had.
Do you get it personally, or does the establishment get
the star? Well, the establishment gets it, but...
Right.
He could have worked at an establishment. I mean, logistically speaking, the head chef is the man who they attribute the star to.
A bit of research while you're talking.
Get on his LinkedIn.
He could have, of course, worked at a restaurant which was awarded a Michelin star. That would be possible. But if he himself is a Michelin-starred chef, he could be earning hundreds of thousands of pounds running his own restaurant. So
not getting that at Ipswich.
Yeah, I'd imagine he's got him paid that at Ipswich. While you do some research on that, Simon Weiss asks, would the hashtag Honey Badger consider Grant Ward as a backup for KVY? We've already talked about Simon. Thank you very much. Kevin Mays, when we go up, are there any gems in this division that hashtag Honey Badger should be looking at for next season? I.e., are there any particular opposition players that have impressed you so far?
I think he'd probably be out of their range, and I imagine he'll also be potentially coming up with Ipswich, but I really like even Tony at Peterborough. He's so strong. Positionally, he's really good. He's a good finisher, good in the air, very thick neck. He's probably going to be out of Ipswich's bracket, though.
Has he got an American footballer's neck?
He's got an American footballer's haircut.
Yeah? What, flat top?
Just got some bits coming out.
He's got bits. Okay, so he's the one who's impressed you most. Dewey, who's impressed you most? Opposition players.
He certainly stands out, even Tony.
Well, what do you think? Have you got the answer?
I couldn't find the answer, no.
I'm guessing, if that is indeed the case, I think he must have worked at a restaurant.
I think Jim Henry might have just thrown it out there willy-nilly.
Yeah. His food is very... It looks amazing.
It's sort of shorthand, isn't it, to say, like, someone's good at cooking, yeah. Michelin star. Yeah. Sorry, Hutchie, I stepped all over your chat there.
That's all right, carry on.
We're meant to be making an effort not to do that for a better listening experience. Roscoe, who's been the best player you've seen so far?
Crooks of Rotherham. I wouldn't sign him, but he just... bombarded our defence.
Yeah, just scored both goals, didn't he?
Both goals. Big lads, yeah. I won't sign him, but you know, yeah, he just impressed me because yeah.
There we go.
I liked the Doncaster midfielder
Ben Whiteman.
Yeah, he was all right. I think Sheaf was the one that I probably was most
Arsenal?
Impressed with. Yeah, the Arsenal loan. I thought he was decent.
FPL Tractor, do you think the absence of Downs will mean a change of formation? The 4-4-2 is, to my eyes, a struggle without his boundless energy. And Rochdale play three in central midfield, I believe.
They do, but I think any change of formation will hinge on Well, what were we even changing formation from? What formation do Ipswich play?
Played 4-4-2 at Southend.
But is it? They don't play. They change it every week.
That's a good point.
I think talking about changing formations is almost pointless because they change every week. But I think what Ipswich do on Tuesday night will hinge on Skuza's fitness personally.
Matt Thomas.
Friend of the show.
He was one of the original five, wasn't he? Those giants of show contributors in the pantheon of the KOA Hall of Fame. Matt Thomas wants to know, after having seen the most ridiculous rolling around in fake injury during boxing at the weekend, what do you guys think could be done to stamp it out in football? I haven't seen the incident, but I'm told in the Anthony qualified, the guy who was fighting, feigned an injury a couple of times.
You should be chucked out of boxing for that, shouldn't you?
You don't often see it, and I haven't seen it, so I don't want to comment on it individually. But yeah, not good. The simple answer, surely, in football is just to start booking and sending players off for rolling around, simulation, all that sort of stuff. Not something that Stuart Watson would ever do.
No.
He dishes out the injuries.
He is the danger.
Yeah, that's the answer, that's isn't it? Until you took a really hard-line stance on anything, it would soon put people off. Problem is, the game's so fast now, I do have sympathies, that the speed that people are going in to tackles. I mean, for example, the one at Accrington, where Gwion Edwards happened right in front of us. We were on a few rows back, happened right in front of us. Gwion Edwards got wiped out by a tackle. And in real time, I honestly thought, just a full-blooded tackle, got the ball. I thought it was okay. And then you watch it back, you see the picture, you see the stills, you see the slow motion. Oh, it's 2 feet off the floor, it studs up. And all of a sudden, you're convinced it's a horror tackle and it's a red card. So the speed of the game now makes it... when people are going down under no contact, I have sympathies because there's so much financially riding on games and such fine margins that people are going to try and take every advantage possible, but it's not right.
Okay, I'm going to we'll take a couple more because the curry is calling, boys. We've got some planning to do. Peter Dwerryhouse, fantastic name, Peter. You actually tweeted this to us a moment of seconds after this very thing was discussed in the office. He says, did Andy ever eat the massive burrito thing from Peterborough Services for beating Bolton 5-0? Just to remind listeners who've not heard this before, this is a long-held kind of vow that you would do. What's the conditions and what is it?
It started last season, didn't it? And the rules last season were... This was a heavily optimistic when these rules were made last August. But it's a kilogram burrito from El Mexicana, the best service station food available throughout the country, that if it was just one away at a team in the top six, I would eat La Beast, which is the kilogram burrito. Smaller options are available and readily consumed. But they didn't do that last season, did they?
No. So we changed the rules slightly this year, and we settled on if Ipswich win by 3 clear goals on the road, that's got to happen. Mm-hmm. But there was some discussion over the Bolton game, whether it counted because of Bolton's predicament at the time. And we did agree, crucially before kickoff, that we would suspend that rule for the day. So I have let that slide.
It went to the committee, didn't it? And it was voted through to suspend that.
Excellent. But earlier, the reason it was being discussed earlier is because Stuart Watson boldly proclaimed that La Beast will be consumed following, well, not necessarily following, but indeed after, in the wake of Town's big win at Rochdale tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't know if I fully believe that, but I'm gonna stick with it. I think they'll win, and I think
Hutchie's getting.
I think
on
they'll win convincingly.
Getting on the kilogram of food. When and if that does happen, Hutchie, we must have video evidence.
Yeah, it could be some time though, because there are few and far between El Mexicanas. They are only available at Peterborough Services and a couple of others, which we're not passing until January. So it might be a post Christmas treat. Which is exactly what you need. So
that's exactly when you need to be eating a kilogram of food. Exactly. It's post Christmas.
Exactly.
James Galt just wants to know our favourite pudding. So we talked about a favourite cake. What's your favourite pudding, very quickly?
Sticky toffee,
ginger cake with.
That's your favourite pudding
custard.
As well, is it?
Yeah.
Sticky toffee is a great shout, my friend.
Or a very good tiramisu.
Oh, you dirty boy again.
But it has to be good.
It's got to be proper. There's a lot of bad ones out there.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
We've got a good one in our fridge at the moment. And during this podcast, my wife has sent me a picture. She started eating it.
Has she?
So...
Is that some kind of... Have you fallen out with her? What's going on?
Well, we have now. Yeah. She doesn't know it yet, but yeah. However, we're going for a curry and she'll be jealous of that.
Exactly. Sticky toffee is definitely mine. Tiramisu, great shout. Stewie, what are you saying? When you're eating emotively.
Yeah, seasonally dependent. Summer, something zesty and airy like a key lime pie.
Ooh.
Good
shout.
We're getting into the darker months now. Bread and butter pudding, ooh, custard.
Cheese and biscuits for dessert is nonsense, right?
Mm.
When other things are available? Are you really picking cheese and biscuits?
I wouldn't call it a dessert. I mean, it's a cheese course, isn't it? Let's be honest.
What is a cheese course?
It's something you have after dessert. Cheese course.
With some port or some wine.
Whiskey, actually, my friend.
Nonsense.
It's not nonsense. It's beautiful.
You don't need a cheese course.
You do. Nonsense. You do. If you're having a proper meal, you're having people round for a meal, you give them a cheese course, all right? And you have whiskey.
Whiskey, I can appreciate, but you don't need a cheese course. Move on.
You always need cheese. Right, two more questions. Ross Evans says, hey gents, sending a message all the way from Abu Dhabi. He's out there with work. I'd like to ask, when you guys visit a shop / service station for a quick sandwich / meal deal for lunch, what filling do you usually go for? What's your favourite sandwich filling?
Does it have to be a sandwich?
Quick sandwich / meal deal.
I'm at a service station. I want a Ginster Scotch egg bar, please. It's not just a Scotch egg. It's cylindrical and it's filled with egg mayonnaise. And it's
absolute... got egg mayonnaise in it.
Yeah, but it's really peppery. It's really good. And, yes, please. Scotch egg bar.
Not a Scotch egg.
Crucially, it's not a Scotch egg but by name, but it's basically a Scotch egg. Okay. Very tasty.
Roscoe, we know you're a fan of the sandwich man. What's your favourite filling?
This may surprise you, but I always try to be a little bit healthy because I know I'm just going to get loads of chocolate bar and crisps, so I'd have a nice little turkey salad.
That's your favourite filling?
I wouldn't say it's my favourite filling, but that's what
that's
I go
the one
for.
You go for.
Yeah.
Stewie, what you
I'm having a little look if there's a coronation chicken option.
Bing bong. Spot on. Coronation chicken. Good enough for the Queen's coronation, my friend.
Why are you pointing at me?
Just saying. I'm excited. It's good enough for the Queen's coronation. 1953.
What's going on?
It's good enough for me.
He's getting just a painted picture. He's getting right up in Hutch's grill now, as if they've just had us like, and it's a disagreement at the bar about the cheese course.
What's going on?
It's as if I've had a couple of whiskies.
Coronation chicken's all right.
ITFC follower Stewie is back onto you. The now ex-wife has been in contact and is trying to take half of my season ticket with her.
Oh.
She's already taken the house and the cat I call Bluey. What should I do? I'm back home living with mummy and daddy at the moment. Life is tough. You told this man to dump his wife because she wasn't excited about town season. Now look at the state he's in. What do you have to say to him?
Now she wants half a season ticket.
She's not even interested in football. She's doing it out of spite.
I'll stick to my original advice. I've said that's the second person I've said it to this year. Sometimes I just think you've just got to move on, and you know you'll build up your finances again, and you know there's other cats are available.
Yeah,
other wives are available.
There are plenty of spare seats at Portman Road. Yeah. They're available still.
Okay,
just give her the cup games and that. Although they're not included in season tickets, are they?
Yeah, but she will get priority on them, though. So if she does want to go to the games, she'll be in his seat.
Why does she want half the season ticket? Because I thought the reason that they were splitting up...
It's out of spite.
Do you think she'll go to the games?
Probably not.
Or send someone else?
Probably
just give
not.
It away every week?
Send their new bloke. so you're saying double down, basically?
Yeah.
Get over it, essentially.
Yeah.
And enjoy living back at your parents. Okay, good advice. Right. I'm going to finally call time on this. I want to take one more question from our friend, no context, Benjamin Herrier, as we found out he's called. It sounds like Perrier.
I need some more context.
he says, if you could go back in time and offer a word of wisdom to your younger self, what would it be? A good way to finish this week's mailbag.
Check the engine oil on the Ford Fiesta.
When did you have an issue with that? Did you break down on the...
Yes, on the M5. Awful.
Was it bad?
Had no oil in it whatsoever.
Did it... What happened? Did it...
Just ground to a halt.
Where were you going?
I was either going... No, I was coming back from covering a rugby match. Used to be a rugby journalist.
You did, didn't you?
Coming back from that. Hadn't checked it. Was on the M5 for 4 hours.
Oh, okay. So you go back in time and sort that out.
Yeah, awful.
It was obviously a bad time. Ross, you are incredibly young, but if you could give your younger self, your kind of pre-pubescent self, some advice, what would it be?
Don't be a little shit, basically. I was a little shit when I was a teenager, so...
So don't do that.
Yeah, just be maybe... Be nicer to people.
Be a bit more mature.
Yeah.
And eat your vegetables.
Yeah, that as well.
Stewie boy, what would you go back in time and tell yourself?
Do
more with your hair.
Yeah. Make the most of hair while you've got it. Don't take that for granted.
Yeah.
Just worry less.
Mm.
Just like GCSEs and A-levels and degrees aren't the be-all and end-all.
Yeah.
Go out more. Do more fun stuff. Not that I was short of that, but just don't worry so much. Everything's going to be all right.
That is great advice. I think I'd agree with that. Because everyone worries about what they're doing at school and how popular they are and this, that and the other. Ultimately, that doesn't matter. It's only a few years of your life. And let me tell you, most of the popular people at school are now working in McDonald's.
Yeah, I'm still working on the whole...
I know, our friend.
Nothing wrong with it. Makes people, sometimes.
If anything. Right, that's the end of Mailbag this week. Thanks for everyone else who contributed and I didn't get a chance to read. Boys, we are moments away from a curry. We have one more thing to talk about before said curry, and that's a trip to Rochdale tomorrow night. We've talked around all the issues. Stu has already told us he thinks they're going to win. I want some predictions, please.
2-0.
2-0 Town.
I've got to stick to my three goals thing now, haven't I? 3-0.
I'm saying 2-1 Town. Roscoe, this is the point where you need to shout out your latest driver. Let's tell the people how you're getting to Rochdale tomorrow. Can you remember his name?
Yes, Adam.
Adam.
Adam. And his brother, I think Martin, or a friend Martin.
So. Roscoe didn't fancy the coach tomorrow, so he put out an appeal for someone to essentially carry him to the game there and back on the night. You had quite a few...
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Quite a few people vying
for the... queuing up.
It's a big deal.
You should bid.
The host of the strike in your car.
You should bid for this.
Yeah. There's a few that I know they're more than this Adam guy, but I had to get to Cambridge beforehand. So this one is a bit easier to organise.
Because he'll do a bit more for you, essentially.
Yeah. I don't really have to go to Cambridge and then,
Okay, so you're going to be ferried there and back by Adam. What do you think the score's going to be?
4-2.
Oh, that'll be an exciting game, won't it?
To Rochdale.
Yeah.
If if you do want to be one of Ross's drivers, do get in touch. It is quite a kind of achievement to have the man who presents a strike every week in your car.
Do you get 4 hours of the strike?
Do you have to do the strike in the car with them?
I can do.
Just the theme tune going over and over.
This is the point, of course, where I have to do the usual outro. It's the subscribers push. Please, if you have enjoyed this this nonsense, it's been a week, more than a week, in fact, since we're all together friends. So I hope you've enjoyed it. Please do hit subscribe if you haven't already and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Very useful, 5-star only, for our visibility in the charts, of which we are still doing pretty well in. Ross, we've got to play the Archant thing.
Hmm.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.
Have the shadowy Archant figures raised the fact that we're not playing this until the end?
No, let me tell you, if anyone at Archant listened to this, we'd be in trouble. Stewie, you had a mischievous look on your face, and now
I'm
you're
just
searching
you're just
your
saying that we're doing well in the charts, and I'm just actually seeing...
Well, don't check it, mate, come on.
Were you just now just saying
journalistic licence.
Okay.
Yeah. We will be after this particular podcast. Boys, one more thing we've got to tackle before we take our leave. We're about to walk down the road, going to the Maharani, to have an Indian. We're going to have poppadoms with this Indian. If either any of you take the communal poppadoms and take it upon yourself to smash them, rendering them in pieces all over the table, we're fighting.
We're not coming to live pod.
Yeah, we are fighting. Someone here has said they're going to do that. Me and Hutchie, we're civilised.
The room is split on this. Yeah. We're on one side. We disagree on cheese courses, but poppadom etiquette,
yeah,
we are very much on the same
page. I want my own poppadom in the same way that I want the food that I order. That's mine. I don't want to be dictated to how I'm going to eat the poppadom, or indeed if I'm going to get my fair share. So, Stewie and Roscoe, you are poppadom smashers. Hmm. I'd love to know what people think out there about this. Is it unreasonable of me to behave like this?
Let's put a poll out while we're in there.
Absolutely. I want to know.
I'm not necessarily saying that I'm going to kind of do a sort of ceremonial karate chop to like start the evening and smash them to smithereens, but in the process of breaking some off, there may be some collateral damage, and you know, and they may split down the middle, and like just deal with it.
I won't, my friend.
Poppadoms are a communal snack.
The fourth thing that I hate is people who smash poppadoms. we're going to find out soon enough how this plays out.
By the way, we're down to 75 in the charts well, now, so if that's doing well...
We haven't done one.
Well, that's because we haven't done one for a week.
That's not great, is it?
That, sorry, friends, that's because we haven't done one for a week. So as soon as we do this one, we'll shoot back up the chart. Thanks, Stewie, for running down your own podcast, by the way. I appreciate that. So this podcast next week will be sans me, because I'm on holiday.
Oh, no.
So Hutchie will be your host next week. He can fill you in.
Oh, no.
He can fill you in on what happened with Poppadom Gate.
I'm not very good at the hosting.
Of course you are. It will be tremendous next week.
I'm not as good as you.
Any other business, boys, before we take our leave?
There's a podcast here called The Bruised Banana, an Arsenal podcast. Sounds like your worst nightmare.
Well, it depends. Has it been bruised because somebody's attacked it for its behaviour and all-round appearance and attitude to life? Or is somebody kind of snacking into the... Oh, look at this lovely bruised banana. I bet what's inside that really nice bruised yellow skin is great. Pathetic.
The great irony here is that to make banana cake, you need the most ripened bananas. So the thing you hate the most is creating one of the cakes... You like them?
Well, that's not. Well, it's not true. I, they're not in my top 10 cakes, but it's okay. My mum makes a really nice one. Thanks, mum.
Checkmate. boys, anything else to discuss before we head
Watson
off?
Watson wink.
Hey, did you know you were doing it that time?
I did.
Excellent. Any nice other business, one. Boys, before we head off and have curry?
No other business.
Fight over the poppadoms? Maybe. No other business. Thanks very much for joining us. Hutchie will be your host next week.